I've been waiting my whole life for this one moment.
Greetings, 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 good people. It's that time one more again for you to tune in to Off the Record. We are so excited that y'all bothered to stop by 4th District to listen to us ramble, talk about subjects. And so we appreciate that you appreciate us. My name is Adan Bean. You can find me on Twitter at ADANBEAN. I work, obviously, with 4th District, obviously doing a lot regarding music and whatnot. And in the studio today, I have the good homie Sho Baraka. Actually, I don't, because Sho didn't show up, so he's not here. You thought you were going to get him, but you didn't. I have Dan Duncan on the mic. Actually, I don't. Dan's not here either. I mean, he's here physically. The presence and spirit of the Scottish man is here, but he's not here on the mic. in the back. I also don't have David Perdue. I also don't have JP, although JP is here too, but he's not here on the mic either. I decided to remove the mic from them and just have good folks and good friends come in who are much more intelligent than them to come in and talk about a lot of a very interesting topic. We are in the studio joined by some wonderful guests, some people that I've known for a long time, years, other people that I've just recently met, but I feel like I've known them for years or too long, however you want to read that. But nonetheless, starting with my left, is the good homie.
Ladies first.
I'm going clock.
Okay.
Clockwise.
Hey, I tried.
You did. He tried it.
We were in the South.
But I'm from the Midwest, so it's weird. Like, rearrange, but no.
And the lady gave an arm up for that. Is. Okay. All right. We're going left. All right.
But no, that voice you hear is a wonderful guest, backed by no one's demand. Nope. No, my homie's demand. My homie Harrison.
I demanded I get a retrial.
He's like, yo, let me get back in this, please. What's up, man? How are you?
It's good. It's good to be back. Man. Dan, in pure Dan form, called me 2 hours ago and said, what are you doing? And I said, Dan, I'd love to be there. You got to give me some more notice. But both times, because I have no friends or a life, I'm here. But it's good to be back.
I tell you what, 4th District is the recipients, the joyful recipients of you not having a social life. So we appreciate,
you know, your it all works out in the end.
It does. Because this is Harrison. You might remember him from our conversation a few weeks ago about Is America Great? He came on with dope perspective and facts and thoughts and dates and things that we don't really focus ourselves with here. But it was very helpful and appreciated.
Hey, I brought no facts today.
Well, hey, that's good.
Just
too.
Just opinions.
That works. That's more in line. That's more in line with what we do here. But I also have another good friend, a good homie I've known for years. My good friend, Timothy Welbeck, sir.
That would be me.
That would be you. Tim, you are coming from Philly.
I'm not from Philly, but I am coming from Philly.
Yes. And you are a lawyer, is that correct?
I am a lawyer. Yes.
You've got a suit coat on to prove it.
Yeah.
He's looking I feel trashy.
Blazers and briefcase.
I mean, it's kind of like just my uniform. I did bring the briefcase.
He's just showing us all up.
Hey, man.
I got in cutoffs.
Yeah. It's all good, man. But no, it's so good to see you, man.
It's great to be back. Great to be on the podcast. I've listened before, and now I'm talking on the podcast.
Look at that.
Pretty
look at
dope.
That.
What kind of law do you practice?
I'm a general practitioner, so I primarily do entertainment law, family law, personal injury, medical malpractice. Also, I teach hip hop and black culture at
you.
Temple, and mass media and the black community at Temple as well.
Absolutely.
So, and what don't you do?
I don't swim.
Okay.
But when I find time, it's still rap every now and again too.
So look at that.
Yeah,
look
I know. But like swimming, that I don't do.
I'm telling you, Paul Robeson, Cordell Stewart, just all of it lined up in one. We appreciate it, man. So good, man. Definitely good to see you, man. It's been glad that we are as well beneficiaries of you falling through Atlanta during your trips and travels, and you're presenting.
I'm presenting at the Black Doctoral Network Conference tomorrow.
Okay. Tomorrow will be when this airs. So
that
will be.
When you hear this, I probably would have presented already.
Absolutely. And it will have been dope, I believe.
Godspeed.
That is the hope.
Absolutely. Well, that's definitely dope, man, that you were able to come through and on short notice too, because much like Dan hit up Harrison, I hit up Tim like a couple hours ago. Like,
this
yo,
is true.
What are you doing? Fall through. So, and you did. So that's dope. And another one of my good homies, the great, wonderful, I've dubbed her Super Qua, and she has taken that title and
it's
run
with it.
It's
a great title.
Yes. Wonderful. My good homie, Quadulin Jackson, how are you?
I'm doing well.
That is wonderful. You do a lot of things. I think you are in, have been in a lot of different areas. You went to Spelman.
I did.
And your degree was in?
Economics.
In economics. Mm-hmm. Are you working in economics right now?
Not currently. No.
What are you doing? What are you current? Well, I think your story is interesting. So.
Well, I'll do it as quickly as I can, because yeah. I do kind of use my master's degree a little bit, so okay. That works.
That's true.
Went to Spelman for economics, worked in banking for 8 years, mm-hmm. Got a master's degree in public policy at Georgia State,
mm-hmm.
left banking to go to nonprofit social justice work, worked for an arts and social justice organization called Wonderroot, worked there for 3 years.
Shout out to Wonderroot.
Yes. And then left there, to start working at Feminist Women's Health Center, where I am now, where I do a little bit of advocacy, public policy, outreach, education around reproductive justice.
Wonderful. That is really, really dope. And yeah, and then you're just general arts enthusiast.
I am. I seem to be surrounded by the arts all the time in my home and other places.
Absolutely. Wonderful. And just as a refresher for people, Harrison, you work for an organization called, is it ADF?
Nailed it.
Ah, look at that.
Nailed it.
And it's Alliance mm-hmm. Defending mm-hmm. John Favreau. No, I don't know. What's the F stand for? What's the F stand?
Freedom.
Freedom. There we go. There
Close.
We go. Yes.
Close.
Wonderful. Alliance Defending Freedom. Well, that is great. And just kind of explain what Alliance ADF does.
Yeah, definitely. They are we're a nonprofit constitutional law firm focusing in First Amendment law. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion mostly, but we primarily focus on defending life, marriage, family, and religious and freedom of speech.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So it's very dope. I've decided to get this, I guess this, I don't know, Island of Misfit Toys together so that we could discuss various topics, but one of which most pressing is we've had a lot of conversation just internally as well as online about Planned Parenthood. That seems to be the rage, honestly. Congress wants to talk about it often, and it is a very, I think, interesting topic for us to delve into. I think on one side, just as thinkers, as Fourth District, we like to I guess brand ourselves as artists who think and artists who like to approach the world in various different ways. And I think all of us are artists in our own particular way. But I do think that this topic is interesting. And like we said earlier, we thought we'd grab people who have probably more experience than us to discuss a lot of these things. And really just want to kind of start as a general conversation. I think, you know, and Quadulin, if you don't mind, I'm going to start with you in terms of just you are not here in the capacity of speaking for the Center for
Feminist Women's Health Center.
There we go. Feminist Women's Health Center. You are not an official spokesperson for them. But I did think it was good in terms of us having a conversation about Planned Parenthood to not have three or four people who do not possess a uterus having this conversation. Thought it might be wise to, I don't know, at least
it
have
is
one.
Wise. Yeah,
that is certainly
wise. You
can say
wise. It's
wise. Come on,
okay.
Come on. So, I agree with that.
So, three dudes.
Yes. So, Quadulin, on behalf of all women everywhere.
Right. Excellent. So, don't speak for Feminist Center, but do speak for all my women. Entire gender identity.
Absolutely.
Got it.
Absolutely.
Ready.
You know the rule. No, that's definitely not what we want. But I did think that you actually have just as an advocacy group and things like that, I think you have a very good and a warranted perspective to speak to this issue that kind of came up. I think, if I'm not mistaken, it kind of hit the forefront. I mean, Planned Parenthood has always been kind of a touchy subject in I think a lot of circles having to do with people having to do with the understanding that there are abortions that do occur at some Planned Parenthood facilities. But there, it hit kind of critical mass because there were these videotapes that showed up. I said videotapes like they were on like an actual
VHS
camcorder.
Dime went back to 1995.
Like the rocket launchers of all.
Betas are killing it. But yeah, I don't think there's any way to actually have.
They might have been VHS. Who knows? Because those are discreet.
But along those lines,
it's nothing.
I think it ended up. It reached critical mass, as I said, once these kind of videos showed up. Because they appeared to be showing these meetings that were happening. And when I say meetings, not like there were like people in hoods in a basement having a conversation, but it were actually like a very casual restaurant conversation that was going on. And the conversation really, the way that it came across, it was as though, hey, are they harvesting like organs or baby parts and like killing children to do this and accomplish, like a lot of those things kind of came up, I think, in a lot of conversations with regards to what was being said and what was being communicated. And so I guess, Quadrant, can you speak to just even that and maybe your experience with either working side by side with Planned Parenthood or just as a woman, your thoughts about all of it?
Sure. So lots.
Yeah, there was a lot there. So describe everything.
And explain it in detail. Sure. Detail, no. So there are lots of videos. There are like hours upon hours of video. The people who created the videos and did sort of the undercover work created a shell company that doesn't actually do anything, but was able to infiltrate lots of circles, reproductive health circles, get into meetings, build trust, build relationships with people who are in the industry, and use that trust that was built over several years to record conversations and videos and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then what was disseminated were edited versions of some of those conversations.
Okay.
What the topic that it's really touching on is tissue donation,
okay,
which is a thing that exists. It is not really a very common practice, but there are instances where in some clinics, once a person has had an abortion, they want to donate parts of the tissue towards medical research. They can, with informed consent, sign away to have parts of that tissue donated. And it's usually very small amounts of tissue. It's not like they're selling arms and legs. Nobody needs arms and legs. That's not a thing. Mm-hmm. So it is a legal practice that happens. It's one of the ways that I like to think about it, or like to talk to people about it, is thinking about organ donation.
Okay.
In the sense that when you're losing a loved one, it's really a hard situation for lots of people, but sometimes people would like for the death of someone that they care about to help save somebody else's life.
Mm-hmm.
So thinking about the fact that you're even if you're going through what may or may not be a difficult decision for you,
mm-hmm,
having the ability to then direct small amounts of cells that can help do cancer research or Parkinson's or different things like that,
mm-hmm,
to universities and other research institutions can be something that can be comforting for people in those situations.
Right.
So there are companies that help to facilitate that.
Okay.
But again, it's very, very rare. Mm-hmm. And it's very few places that even do it.
I see. Let me ask this. I ask this only because I've heard people who even fall on the side of championing reproductive rights and feel very strongly like, hey, you know, they stand by the idea of abortion needing to be still being done in a society because it needs to be done safe and it needs to be done under supervision. And, you know, even if they view it as a touchy subject, they're like, hey, I believe in this. I've heard even some people, when they watch those videos, still feel like, man, you know what? I agree solely with the idea of a woman's right to choose and that role. But I still, you know, they had some level of, I don't know if queasiness, but the, but uneasiness around the casualness by which the conversation was being had.
Sure.
And I'm curious because, you know, I've heard various thoughts around that. And I think sometimes, some of that really, I think, goes to the fact that it's just like, a medical procedure that people who are around medical procedures all the time, they have a different maybe sensibility towards it than
that's exactly public. What I was gonna say. And again, I'm not a clinician, so right. I don't work in the clinic, but right. I know that healthcare professionals, when they are talking to their peers mm-hmm. and they're talking about these kinds of procedures, mm-hmm. there can be a casualness that can feel off-putting to mm-hmm. your average person. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're sitting in a room full of surgeons that are talking, you know, about heart surgery, it may feel a little bit odd for them to discuss it in those terms. Yeah. Or you know, again, thinking about organ donation and the ways in which doctors have to have those conversations with people that aren't always comfortable because there's time yeah. limits, there's, you know, there's things at stake. And so I understand the discomfort that people might feel in hearing. And I got to be real honest. I've only seen like two of the videos. I watched part of one, but I haven't really delved in because it's too much and it's too distracting. But I do know the first one that came out that was the over lunch conversation. Mm-hmm. I can definitely understand how that feeling might land on people who aren't accustomed to hearing that kind of conversation.
Okay.
And again, considering how what is edited in between, mm-hmm. we don't know the full depth of what happened.
Okay.
But what I do know is about the practice of tissue donation.
Yeah.
And so that's what I can speak to.
I'll back up the... You talk to guys who work on ambulances and you're like, man, you are cold hearted talking mm-hmm. about body parts all over the place. So I can understand that to a degree, but
I understand. Right. Right. Yeah. We'll make our way around. Absolutely. And I was going to actually bring that to you as well, Tim, just in terms of being a lawyer. My father was a lawyer, is a lawyer. My grandfather was a lawyer.
And look at you.
Look at me. I decided to rap.
Dang, you decided to rap.
Said, you know what? That law degree was cool and all, but I can rap, Dad. What about that? I think, you know, there's some level of semblance there as well with the law, with the legal profession, in terms of you're talking to someone in a very stressful time, mm-hmm. in a very tense time in their life, and yet it's another day at the office for you. You know what I mean? Like it's not that you take a casual, like in a casual nature to mm-hmm. each case, but I'm sure there's a level of like I've seen this before.
I can certainly attest to that, particularly with medical malpractice. You see some pretty grisly injuries and people dying from just horrible like decisions that have been made or failure to make proper decisions. And people look over these records all the time. Even as attorneys looking over these records, there can just be, from an outsider looking in, it can appear to be cavalier, just talking about cancer or talking about people losing limbs or people having catastrophic injuries and things like that, particularly with young children. And if you hear the way some personal injury and medical malpractice attorneys will talk about just cases that make money and what you need, it can be pretty gruesome just to hear the way they talk about it. And you would, and all the terrible things people say about lawyers, they would probably say then.
I know some good lawyers.
I know a handful of them as well.
Yeah, good guys and ladies.
Yes, the joke is always like, yeah, but are they dead? Like, I've heard all the right, lawyer jokes before, but
good lawyers, but no soul. Yeah,
right, I understand.
Do you have a soul?
I'd like to believe I do.
We'll see by the end of this conversation.
But, you know, along with that, Tim, like, did you see the videos and everything that had come out during that time?
This was
probably 2 months ago, maybe 2 or 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there are a total of 9, mm-hmm. last I heard. I have seen parts of
2. I think we're at 11.
Oh,
okay. I know I saw a 10th, but yeah. I know 11.
I think they just came. out with one.
Well, thank you, Harrison. Okay. I did not see. It shows you how closely I was following. But
seeing nine, though, that's pretty good. I mean,
hey, you wouldn't ever know they're coming out with new videos because the news never talks about it.
I have not seen nine. Wow, shots fired. We're not even 10 minutes into this thing.
Hey, let's get going. I got to get to bed.
I understand. So, like, okay, I'll keep it brief. I have seen parts of two. Mm-hmm. And just to be perfectly honest, I just found them difficult to watch. Mm-hmm. I found them difficult to watch for a multitude of reasons. And then I wasn't even too certain about the veracity of them too, just knowing that they'd been edited. But even just what I was seeing, I couldn't watch too much more of it. And so mm-hmm. I saw the first two and I figured the rest would be going along those lines.
Right.
And some of the warnings before some of them, I just was not prepared to look at them.
Sure,
so.
Sure. Let me ask you this though too. You are also a father, though, as well, too.
I am a father of three children.
Three wonderful children.
Three children. I have a five-year-old. My son will be four next month, and my youngest daughter will be 6 months next week.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. We'll give a preemptive happy birthday to her. But I'm curious, you know, just on a personal level, if you don't mm-hmm. mind speaking to this, like, do you think that, do you think you had the same level of, you think you would have the same level of, I guess, feeling an investment towards those videos not being a father? Or do you think that obviously fatherhood has changed you as a man?
Without question.
I've known you before you were a father.
You knew me when I was skinny, single, and childless.
Man, and I tell you what.
Y'all, I knew a dime when he had a fade. Like, just to show you how
far back.
It's
been a long time. We don't talk about that time, but keep it going. No, it's all good.
Okay, I'm sorry.
But he didn't come out that way?
He did not come out that way, ladies and gents.
But no.
I'm thankful for that.
along those lines, man. I think, like, you know, do you think that when you watch those videos, like you said, you found it hard to watch, you know?
Yes.
Do you think that, did that factor into that? Or do you think your convictions were already strong even prior to, you know, becoming a father?
Let me begin by saying this. So I'm glad Quadrant is in the room for this reason. I am a man, obviously, and I've never had to bear a child, never had to carry a child. So I understand the decisions women have to make are ones that I'll never have to encounter. Mm. I would say just going into fatherhood, I had strong convictions about abortion, and having three children of my own have only strengthened those convictions. Mm-hmm. Seeing my children's ultrasounds, watching my wife waddle across the room and her belly grow, mm-hmm. Watching all three of my children being born, and now spending time with them on the outside, it forever changes you, and it changes the way you look at life, the way you look at God's sovereignty, the way you look at providence. Because one thing, just to kind of even contextualize it a little more, me and my wife lost who would have been our first child the year before our oldest daughter was born. So mm-hmm. just having navigated all of that.
How far along was she, if you don't mind me asking?
She was about 3 months.
Okay.
So it was towards the end of the first trimester. Mm-hmm. So just having experienced all of that, I have strong convictions. And so hearing Kwajalein kind of explain some of what was happening is better. But it was difficult to watch them, to hear them talking about and just imagining children.
Sure.
Any phase of gestation, just it was difficult to watch that.
Yeah.
And so I had to turn away.
I understand.
I've got a strong stomach. I've seen some pretty terrible things, like in my medical malpractice days, but that was a little much for me.
Man, yeah. So Harrison, I think, you know, it's interesting as we talk through, like, kind of those videos, and obviously those videos are kind of like a point of departure for us to discuss kind of Planned Parenthood as a whole, and it's, you know, and I don't really necessarily want to get into, not yet at least, maybe the political part of it, because it's become a political conversation.
It doesn't need to come into it.
Onto it, you know. But I'm curious, you know, like, you know, even from your convictions as a man, you know, just as a person, but as well as kind of your role of work and a lot of what you see in terms mm-hmm. of the work and cases that you're a part of. Did the videos, I guess, when you saw the videos, did it make you enhance things that you felt already or you believed already, or was it just like, man, I've been saying this forever, you know what I mean? Like it's yeah. I'm just glad that everybody now sees what I, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, great question. And before I start, love y'all's opinions, love everybody's here, love that we're talking about this. This is a tough thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially as men, it's hard. A lot of times we get silenced because we don't know what women will ever go through, and that's a valid point. I will never, ever have to, I'll never understand what that's like.
Right.
And I've seen all the videos, okay. And it's a lot, and it's a lot to stomach through. And I too have a strong stomach, and two of them made me cry. Mm. One after the you see physical limbs, and that's a whole abortion talk, which is honestly a bit of a different topic. I think we could go that route, but we're probably all pretty solidified in our convictions on what we think about that. No one's going to change anybody's mind, but I challenge everybody to watch the videos here and listening. They're powerful. It's one of those things that it's easy to turn an eye, even as you're watching it, you're like, I'm pretty sure I'm done right now, but it's, I think it's good for us to see tough things, name a tough thing. The Syrians coming over and the stuff they're going through, like, it's easy just to ignore that and go, it doesn't really affect me. But these things affect the greater society, so I challenge everybody to look those up and watch them. They're about 10 minutes per, so it'd be like watching an extremely violent movie for about an hour and a half. But yeah, so I've always been pretty ardent pro-life. That comes from my convictions as a Christian of believing that life is sacred. It's a gift from God. We were created in our mother's womb, like the psalmist talks about, and knew us before our days were even begun. So
and so with that, it's like from the womb, like there's no
let me say it this way. With I think this is cool, and we may all disagree on this, whatever, but the deeper we get into science, the more scientifically whatever you want to say, the more scientifically knowledgeable we become, the more abortion is a little tougher to defend. Back in Roe v. Wade, you could make the argument that is a clump of flesh in there because we couldn't really see. You couldn't tell what was in there. You can't, the people who are ardent pro-abortion don't even make that argument anymore. Like, they don't. It's not that it's, they will say, we know that that's a human because we have 4D sonograms to show that. We have the science to show that, yes, a woman is carrying it. And this is where I'm stepping on ground as a man, that's dangerous, but that, yes, a woman's body is carrying that human, but it's not the woman's body. It has its own blood type. It has its own DNA strands. It's got its own chromosomes. It's got its own dreams, all these things. And we're knowing these from weeks in. Mm-hmm. So that belief makes those really tough to watch. It makes it very tough to watch those. Knowing when you see little hands and little fingers, you go, all right, that's not a clump of flesh like that. And that human will never happen again. Like, that soul is wiped off the earth. Like, it's not like you get pregnant, you abort a few times, then when you have a child, that's the same baby. It's like, no, that child is gone. That DNA is gone. And so watching those videos and knowing that, and you see a hand and you're like, that hand is now lifeless because it's been picked apart. And so that's just tough, regardless of the circumstances. And God knows some of the circumstances some of these women are in. But again, that's kind of going to the abortion thing. I love that we're talking more about the Planned Parenthood stuff. Because what I want to do, I'd like to do, is figure out where we can all agree. Because we might disagree on abortion. We might disagree on stuff. And what I think we can all agree on is that women deserve good health care. Thumbs up.
I agree.
We can all agree on that. And my stance is that there are a lot of options. You work for a clinic. There are a lot of options outside Planned Parenthood that offer.
Is it a clinic, just to clarify?
I mean, we do have a clinic. Yes.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Cool. Okay. Thank you. That Planned Parenthood, my stance, isn't necessary.
And that's actually, so kind of stepping on my thunder here.
Segue. Oh, sorry. just you can have it back.
Appreciate that. But no, that is one of the parts that kind of I wanted to talk through, is just like Planned Parenthood provides a host of services for women. And I have heard people who fall on varied parts of the political spectrum. You know, obviously dyed in the wool, progressive liberals were like,
yeah, ideological cold, lines.
Yeah, yeah, cold dead ends, you will pry this from me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then I've also heard women who are like, you know, strong, I mean, card carrying Republicans who are like, look, Planned Parenthood like was my only option. Like I'm gonna read something really quickly here just because it's I got permission from my homegirl Megan, who is actually an attorney in West Virginia
area.
Look
at all these lawyers.
Let's not say attorneys representing
too
tonight.
Too many. But and this
I've like read a law book once. So.
Right, I broke a law once. But,
look at that. Once.
Is this off the record?
Wow.
Dan and I have broken some laws, pretty sure. At some
hey,
point.
Talk to me after that. We want to know
that. Foreign countries. We didn't get caught. We don't need an attorney.
But this is certainly not so. to have us kind of litigate my friend Megan's stance, but she had made this Facebook post and she was like, you know what, my two cents, I'm a registered Republican and will remain one. However, this second round of looming government shutdown is ridiculous. Planned Parenthood is the reason why Congress will be okay with thousands of blah, blah, blah. I don't want to get into that part, right? But she said, between the years I was off my mother's health insurance and prior to getting married, I had zero health care. I paid for my services out of pocket. When I needed to see a woman's health doctor once a year, I had no choice but to use Planned Parenthood. Most private providers were unwilling to take new patients, and the ones that wouldn't take those without insurance. My bill was $125, and I had a choice to have my services subsidized, quote, due to being a law student with limited income. But I chose to pay the full amount of the services provided because A, I could, and B, I was thankful they were even available for such services. Yes, the abortion issue is a hot topic, and we remain so for the rest of this country's existence, but blah, 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 blah. Let me not go there. I'm going to stop there.
It's a lot of places
yeah,
we
yeah,
can go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I wanted to at least read her testimony to say that there are people out there who are even like, look, I agree with everything else. I just know that I've just seen personally the role of Planned Parenthood being helpful. And I know that very early on, we had a discussion, a pre-discussion. This was weeks ago in the fourth offices. And we were talking and it was kind of like one of us was just like, I didn't even know Planned Parenthood does something other than abortions. You know what I mean? And it's like, yes, there are other services that that Planned Parenthood provides. With that being said, abortion is one of those services in some of those offices, and there's rules about how federal money is allocated. Kind of keying off of what you said just before, Harrison, I wanted to get to that point, and we'll make our way back around.
Okay.
But I wanted to get to that question around what if any role do you see there being for Planned Parenthood? Do you see there even being a need for it? And you're shaking your head no, and I'd like, I guess, to explain.
Yeah, absolutely. So they do offer other services. Mm-hmm. They do. I'm gonna try to make this as quick as possible so we can hit everybody and we don't
sure.
I will talk for a long time. The issue is that Planned Parenthood has an extremely good rep for the most part. Like you hear Planned Parenthood, you do a man on the street interview with people, you say Planned Parenthood, good or bad. Most people prior to these videos would give a thumbs up. It's like saying American Red Cross.
They have brand recognition.
They have good brand recognition and a good brand reputation. Fact? Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. For the most part, I would say they do. Because most people say, again, it's like American Red Cross, the good stuff. Yeah, they do good stuff. Can I tell you what they do? Nah, not really. But I know they're good. They got good brand recognition. The problem is that there are many deceptions in that. Just got a good smile from across the table. There are a lot of deceptions in that. For one that finally got put to rest, I pray, is the whole mammogram issue. Okay? Everybody thinks Planned Parenthood does mammograms. They don't.
They never. Yeah. No.
They never have. They've never owned a machine. Yet our CEO of Planned Parenthood, we've got video of them saying that is a service that they offer. and that is multiply has been repeated by everyone from the news media
to President Obama
to President Obama to the from the CEO to Miss America.
Yes,
saying, you know, they're good because they do cancer screenings, mammograms, etc. And they don't. And it finally came out. Cecile Richards finally in the congressional hearing said, no, we don't do mammograms. Did you ever do mammograms? Nope, we've never had a machine. And I never said that. Meanwhile, you can YouTube Cecile Richards mammograms and you'll find plenty of records of her saying, we offer mammograms. So there's that kind of thing. That's a small issue. That's one of the many. The other thing is that, hey, if we get rid of Planned Parenthood, where are these women, like the woman you just referenced, mm-hmm. Where are they going to get health care? Because mm-hmm. they provide so much health care, mm-hmm. Reportedly. So I got some numbers right here. And maybe we can put this on y'all's website. I don't know. There's some good maps we got. So there are 665 Planned Parenthood clinics in the country, mm-hmm. mostly centered around city centers, where the people are, where the money is. There are over 13,000 other clinics providing comprehensive health care for women, cancer screenings, actual mammograms, STDs, contraceptive care, all that kind of stuff, abortions, everything. Over 13,000. So to say that we get rid of 665 clinics, let's say we're just they're gone, where are women going to get health care? Well, they'll go to over the 13,000 clinics that not only are in city centers, but are rural health clinics that are out there. So Planned Parenthood has this thing, we're offering F-U-R, mm-hmm. back in the South, ladies and gentlemen, are for offering healthcare to all women, access, you know. Mm-hmm. But you can look at the numbers, and the numbers are super interesting in that they focus on city centers. They focus where, and that makes sense if you're a business to go where the people are and go where the money is. But the money's not out in the rural clinics. And my organization, ADF, www.adflegal.org/defundpp, mm-hmm. you can find a 50 different separate state maps, mm-hmm. like Georgia. Here's our 5 Planned Parenthood clinics. And then here's our 225, don't quote me on that number, clinics all over the place,
yeah.
where most of them are just in Atlanta. So there's just all these deceptions of like, hey, we're for this, but you actually look at the numbers and you go, those don't line up.
So I'm going to get Quadrilinen on this too, but I am curious.
She's got a lot to say.
Yeah, I'm sure. But I did have one just follow-up question with you, which I'm going to hope you can keep brief, just because I know you got a lot.
Put the hand on the shoulder.
Give me a word.
But no, but like those other, what did you call the other?
Health clinics.
Their
hospitals included.
Okay. Do they service Medicare?
Those are all Medicare or Medicaid facilities.
They do.
They accept.
I'm just curious because that's a whole different component, which requires a lot more.
Yeah.
A lot more staff to deal with. And that's one of the.
Yes.
My understanding, one of the selling points, obviously, of Planned Parenthood is like, mm-hmm. hey, one of the things is that we actually can deal with, you know, Medicare. So even if there are centers that can take everyone, it's like, do we know how to work through Medicare and all mm-hmm. that law? So that's why I was just curious about that.
Yeah. They receive Medicare, Medicaid. They're in every part of the country so that women can actually get access. And if we want to go on a sidebar later, we can talk about Planned Parenthood and Medicaid fraud because there's multiple suits against them, against ex employees that say, hey, here's how Medicaid is being abused. Women are being charged and then we're profiting off of Medicaid as well.
All right. So we are going to move then to, so Kwajalein, I kind of asked that, Harrison, the question just in terms of like, did you see a role for, Planned Parenthood and, again, not tasking you as having the only uterus here to speak to what that role might be, but am very curious to know, like, you know, like from what you've seen and experienced even, you know, just like what role does Planned Parenthood service, I guess, as you see in the community and the necessity for it? And then from there, you can go where else. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me think about all the things. So one of the things... I can tell you what Planned Parenthood does and what the role that it plays in the places where it is. Is mm-hmm. that most of what you
want? Yeah, at least initially.
So one of the things that I just heard was that they're in cities because that's where the money is. I think that a big misconception in that statement is that poor people don't live in cities, because lots and lots and lots of poor people live in cities and urban centers.
No, this is where the concentration is.
I think that that's AKA key. Money. I think that that's important. I think that being in places where you can be accessed by lots of people is really important. I don't think that Planned Parenthood is the single women's health provider. Mm-hmm. We work for one as well. So again, we work alongside Planned Parenthood regularly. Right. And there are lots of places where they don't have enough reach. They don't have enough capacity.
Sure.
I would question whether all of the dots on the map are currently accepting Medicaid patients, are currently offering all of the kinds of services that Planned Parenthood does in every one of those localities. Because I know that Georgia is currently in an OBGYN shortage. Mm. There are lots of parts of South Georgia where you have to travel hundreds of miles to be able to get not just abortion care, but pap smears, prenatal care. There's lots of places where there are gaps in coverage. Mm-hmm. And that's not because Planned Parenthood's not there. That's because there's lots of other circumstances. The fact that Georgia decided not to expand Medicaid, the fact there's lots of uninsured people, the fact that it's sometimes not profitable for hospitals to keep their gynecological centers open, and so they close them. There's rural hospitals closing all the time. There's lots of factors that impact the way that we access health, particularly people who are low income. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that it's fair to say that Planned Parenthood is the single place that women can access care that they need. Mm-hmm. But I think that in the places where they are planted, they are very, very well used and very necessary for the people who are receiving services from them. Mm-hmm. So again, I don't know. I don't really understand where the mammogram thing came from. Mm-hmm. Almost no. I mean, my mother worked for Planned Parenthood for 15 years.
Yeah.
And it's just not the way that, as a woman who gets breast exams, it's not the way that women get breast exams.
Right.
There are sonography places, ultrasound places where they specifically do mammograms. Mm-hmm. Usually, if you go to a primary care doctor, if you go to a clinic, there's lots of scenarios in which you would get a clinical breast exam and then you get referred out to a place that will actually do the scan.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty common practice. That's the case in our facility as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that rumor, I don't really know where it comes from or what it's about, but they do breast screenings, they do breast health, they have relationships with lots of hospitals that do mammograms, and they bring mammogram buses to the Planned Parenthood facilities as well, just like we do. So beyond breast health, there's pap smears, there's contraceptive care. Planned Parenthood was founded around birth control, if we're real honest.
Oh, we want to go there.
So birth control is a huge piece that's really important. The outreach and education, because many places where Planned Parenthood is, sex education is not something that's offered through the schools. So they are a supplement where parents can go and get information that they can use to talk to their young people, where young people can go and learn about reproductive health. There's lots of other things that Planned Parenthood does beyond abortion. And again, like you mentioned before, not all Planned Parenthoods even do abortion.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that what they offer is really valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, again, when talking to women who experience going to Planned Parenthood and the things that they're able to gain from it, I think that that's really where the value sits.
I can understand that. So, Tim.
Yes.
No, I think it is very kind of like an interesting, talk through in terms of how this has kind of entered the zeitgeist, because I think even when Harrison is talking, he's like, hey, Planned Parenthood has a generally good brand recognition. I'm like, honestly, as a dude, like, I honestly don't know, and part of it is because I've never had to know honestly. You know what I mean? Like, I've never had to avail myself of those services.
But men go too. I mean, so that's the other part. It's not just for women as well.
Understood. The brand recognition is from surveys, not from me. That's national surveys that Planned Parenthood has done, other organizations have done, that have a generally positive.
I got you. I guess I was just making the remark that, like, how I could have a blinder to it because I've never had to,
right,
like I said, avail myself of those services. And I'm going to assume, Tim, you've never had to go to Planned Parenthood either.
I've never had to go to Planned Parenthood.
It's all good.
It was a bold question.
It is a bold question, but I've known him long enough that,
yeah, indeed,
I feel like I could ask that. But but I am, you know, curious, like when you hear all of this, Tim, mm-hmm, like I think, you know, one of those thoughts is like, maybe like, just how does this hit you? I don't want to say, I don't believe that there are societal issues in which there are any real bystanders, right? I think that we're all involved and invested in some way.
Indeed.
Just because we're part of society, right?
I agree.
No one operates in a vacuum.
None whatsoever, certainly not in this country. And I think that, and so with that being said, you know, for myself or even for you, like, whose line of work isn't as much dealing with this as maybe Kwajalein and Harrison's is, like, you know, how do you navigate conversations like these, or even just you know, thinking through these issues as a conscientious you know, citizen of the United States, you know?
I'll begin by saying I kind of got caught in some lawyer speak earlier, and just when in speaking about my strong convictions, I share Harrison's convictions. Mm-hmm. I believe children are the heritage of the Lord. I believe that life begins at conception. I believe God knew us before our parents met each other. I believe that I believe all of that, and I believe life is precious. I believe it's sacred, notwithstanding all of that, I think one of the things that I've learned, and I guess these past several years, is just to listen to the women in my life. And what I mean by that is, mm-hmm, I understand why some women feel Planned Parenthood is necessary, mm-hmm, because we put so much pressure on women. And then not only do we put pressure on women, but we also create these standards for them that we don't necessarily hold for ourselves as men, mm-hmm, if that makes any sense. So as a result, I understand. I understand the need for women's health care. I understand all of that. I just cannot stand with abortion, just myself personally. Mm-hmm. That's where I am with that. With regard to, I guess, the differences in these centers and the like, I think Harrison and Kwajalein hit it on the head. Planned Parenthood has such great brand recognition and reputation that many people often only know to look there. Because I know women who've had to go to Planned Parenthood, and for them, they went there because in their mind, it was their only option. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even until I met people who worked at other facilities that I realized that there were other options, because I was ignorant of the fact as well. But I think the biggest thing is that, kind of as Harrison was alluding to in the beginning, in many ways we agree with a lot of things. I think the key is finding common ground. Additionally, just the idea of, again, just listening to women, because so many of the people who are making these decisions have never had to make them before. Mm-hmm. And we can be very cavalier and talking about what needs to be done and what should be done. And I can advocate for the sanctity of life and affirm life and affirm my desire to see children born without disparaging women and without depriving them of actual services. I think one of the bigger things that we need to do is for women who are contemplating abortion or who feel that they're not prepared to have a child, being better about coming alongside them and making that decision and offering them alternatives to the extent that they want to look for them, because oftentimes these things devolve into shouting matches, mm-hmm, and there's a lot of accusations, there's a lot of names that are called, and nothing is solved at the end of all of that. Mm-hmm. And so I guess that's really where it is with me. I haven't been to a Planned Parenthood. I don't necessarily support Planned Parenthood until this was thrust into the forefront. I couldn't tell you much of what they did. I did know that they offered services aside from abortions, and I did know statistically that wasn't the only, mm-hmm, that wasn't the largest thing that they did, but I disagree so much with abortion that I couldn't just get with Planned Parenthood as an institution.
Everything, I feel you.
Yeah, and then too, like, I mean, we've hinted at Margaret Sanger too, like her history is problematic too.
It is.
Oh boy.
So, I don't know how much we want to get into that now, but
hey, I say we get into it. I don't know. People don't know.
I mean, yeah. I mean, just her ties to the eugenics movement and just just
openly racist.
Sure. Yeah, without, but yeah.
Hey, listeners, Google Margaret Sanger quotes.
I know lots of things about her as well.
So. Yeah. Well, you can't deny her own quotes in her autobiography about controlling certain types of populations.
Right. Her quoting W.B. Du Bois. Yeah.
Those quotes, but she also mentions about controlling certain populations that don't need to be reproducing.
I know all about the eugenics, and I'm not denying everybody's problematic, and there's lots of things we could talk about.
I would definitely agree with the problematic nature of Margaret Sanger. I think also that and part of the reason why I don't necessarily want to get down that rabbit hole is only because, like, if we go down the rabbit hole of problematic founders, then the nation itself gets called into question.
Come on now.
And I realize that dovetails to a larger conversation that we had earlier on another podcast. But I just think that what we're dealing with is right now in terms of what's really going on.
Agreed.
And so, and I think that everyone has enough, I don't want to use the term ammunition, but just enough conviction around why they feel what they feel without us having to go to what the original founder, her thoughts were. And
what's the purpose of Planned Parenthood? What it was. Now you could argue whether it's that anymore, but I think it's valuable to know why an organization was started.
But I think in knowing that, right? Like I guess I dispute that. I think at the core, I just dispute that.
All right. Well, regardless of disputation or not, is that a word?
It's close.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I would challenge all listeners just to Google her.
Sure.
Because people don't talk about her. And I think she's a fascinating.
I think a lot of people talk about her, but there's a lot of good information on both sides that talk about.
I mean, if you can name me one positive thing.
Absolutely. I can send you some emails. I can send you all some links if that's what you all usually do. But it's not necessary to talk about now.
I think it's
we're not very good with follow up.
Yeah, we're still waiting on stuff.
Let's keep the conversation going.
We are. But
I like that.
I do think the idea of I certainly encourage everyone to do research on everything that all of us are saying up here. And that would include going into Margaret Sanger. I'm just saying, for the sake of this conversation, I don't necessarily see it as like let's get into that really deeply at this point. But to that end, though, and I'm glad you said what you said, Tim, because I do think that you are providing a very even in your convictions, I think you are providing a very grounded perception in which you're speaking to the idea, a perspective rather, which you're speaking to the idea of being pro-life for the whole life, right? Like the idea of not just, at conception, mm-hmm. right? But throughout, like, because when you talk about coming alongside.
Without question. And that's a persistent criticism with the pro-life movement. And this is not to typecast an entire group.
Sure, not at all.
But it's more so speaking about the rhetoric. Many people, much of the rhetoric of the pro-life movement ends at birth. This mm-hmm. whole idea of being pro-life ends with the whole evaluation of people. It ends upon birth. It's this whole idea that I don't want to see unborn children killed mm-hmm. or their lives terminated. But then when it comes to actually then sustaining reasonable means in which to live on the outside of their mother, we often see much of the people spouting the rhetoric, I'm particularly talking about politicians, are cutting the various services or not offering alternatives to things that would help large segments of the population actually live, or even just ignoring larger systematic injustices that impact entire segments of the population. Just there's no valuation for life in those moments.
Absolutely.
And so mm-hmm. that right
we
there.
We can all agree on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could go into that all day. I'm going to slow down with that.
Well, no, and I think to couple with that, one of the other things is what I don't often hear from, and not to paint everything with a broad brush, but not what I often don't hear from anti-choice folks who paint themselves as pro-life, don't value the life of the woman in the same vein that they value the life of the unborn.
Okay.
And that is a challenge that we face all the time.
How so?
The maternal mortality rate in Georgia is the highest in the nation. there are women dying during childbirth and in the 40 to 365 days after childbirth as a result of their pregnancy, often in cases where they don't have access to terminating the pregnancy when they could have, or they don't have the means to do so, or they are in some states where they're being forced to carry in circumstances that would endanger their lives. It happens really regularly.
Where are in states people are forced to carry? Abortion's legal in all 50 states.
It, depending on the gestation, there are gestational limits.
So you're saying third trimester?
Not necessarily. There are gestational limits that are before third trimester in some states.
In some states, yes.
Yeah. So there are lots of circumstances in which a woman is not able to terminate, and that does impact or endanger her life. Mm-hmm. There are facilities where she may go, where her life is threatened, and she's still not able to terminate. And those physicians may make decisions to decide whether they want to preserve the life of the unborn or preserve the woman's life. Mm-hmm. There were some politicians who were asked directly whether or not they would support a woman being able to terminate if it was going to endanger their life, and they completely evaded the question. So those kinds of things really trouble me, that women are not lives, like their lives are not weighted in the same way often in those conversations. Okay. And I think also to Tim's point, a lot of the services that would prevent unwanted pregnancies are cut and diminished as well. So if we really wanted to reduce abortion, we could talk about contraceptive access. We could talk about comprehensive sex education. We could talk about a lot of things that would help to get us to a place where we had fewer abortions. And if we're honest, abortions have been consistently declining over time.
And that has nothing to do with Planned Parenthood. That's nothing to do with Planned Parenthood. And I would question your... Okay, so first, I will agree with you on, obviously, women's lives matter. And I'm not sure that's a fair argument to say that pro-life people diminish women's lives just because they're not talking about it. I think that's like talking about the rape statistic of abortions, which is minuscule. And they go, well, what about rape victims? We're not trying to diminish. I mean, that's a horrifying. No one in the pro-life goes, you know what? If you got raped, sorry, you got to do it.
There are some.
Well, the argument behind it is that life is life regardless of how it came into being. That child, I don't know what the circumstances you came into this world under, or you came in under, or you came in under. But the fact is we didn't choose the situation. So there are valid arguments on both sides. But to demonize and say that pro-life people don't care about women, or they don't care about the... Well, you're saying that it could potentially be... Not broad strokes.
No, all I said is what I don't hear. Yeah. That's all I said. I often don't hear. And we do have a maternal mortality crisis in the country.
Do you know what those numbers are? Because I've just never heard it.
There's a maternal mortality review committee that was formed in 2014 in Georgia to talk about the maternal mortality rate here, and there's subsequent legislation to continue to study that because there are extremely high rates. And I can send some reports.
Sure. Yeah. And I think and to kind of butt in just really briefly, what I'd say also is that we're all kind of speaking in a sense of saying like what we've been, our study and what we've seen and what we know, not to say that it's all that's all that's out there. I want to be clear that I think even with you making that statement, Quadrillion, about like what you don't hear, I think maybe Harrison probably is like, well, I know plenty of all the time when I deal with people.
We're coming from different places.
I'm really pointing to the fact that it's not necessarily either side saying this is all that's happening, just this is what I'm encountering when I'm out there. Right. And that's part of what this conversation is supposed to say, like, hey, let me show you what my studies I've seen and what I'm seeing here. I see you've got some stuff pulled up. I want you to get to that, but I also want to ask this question to you.
Cool.
Had you heard about the whole thing that had, you know, the Scott County, Indiana quote, the statement that had come out in terms of like just that, you know, they had closed Planned Parenthood in 2013, the one that had been up there, and there was an exploding HIV outbreak that had occurred.
I haven't heard any of that.
Okay, so I don't want to ask you about it, having not read it.
I
am curious because it's one of the things that had caught national attention, and we could look at what motivations behind that were, but certainly the idea of just saying like, hey, here we have this case in which there was a county that that said, like, hey, we don't want Planned Parenthood here, we don't want XYZ here,
right?
And then you saw a correlating explosion of HIV outbreak. Now, I'm sure we might have to maybe push on those numbers to say what happened to, you know, was it an exact cause and effect here?
Right.
We don't know.
Correlated, maybe caused.
We don't know right now, but that is something that has come out kind of interesting. So yeah. I wanted to bring it up just because I was like, maybe you've heard of it.
No, okay. not specifically.
Okay, yeah. Cool. But yeah. Anyway, you have some numbers here that you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, yeah. So I wanted to get back to the... Because we can, I think we go, it's easy to get off on so many different abortion things and stats that we, and things we've heard and all in a research or whatever. But back to Planned Parenthood, is it necessary? Is it good?
Mm-hmm.
All these kind of things. My opinion, not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
We can all agree, women's health, we need it. We need more of it. We need it better. We need more options, more facilities.
How does more options equal closing 650? I don't understand.
No, I'm saying just, but I'll get to that point in just a second.
Okay.
So Planned Parenthood, 37% of their income or their revenue comes from abortions. So you can look it up. It's on their financial statements. Listeners, you can Google it. This is the research that I do for work.
Okay.
So 37% comes from their abortions, right? And that's a service that's legal here in the country, and that's fine. Well, you know what I mean? But if we're talking women's health care, which is what this whole debate is about, is if everyone's screaming close Planned Parenthood, then we have less options, and that's worse for women, correct? The defunding is, the whole issue is taxpayers, so all of us, mm-hmm. I'm assuming, we all give.
It's one of the laws I break.
Yeah.
Continue.
Right.
We need
don't
to talk after
loud.
This. We need that's to talk after this.
Actually, the IRS internet? Is the only one I
you
don't
might
want
need
to mess
this
with.
Lawyer right now.
Hey, you're in this company. You don't need to
take all the fourth district.
Fourth district pays all taxes.
Yeah, no, continue.
It's complicit with all tax law.
So sorry. Continue. You know,
that's funny. So we give $500 million mm-hmm. a year to Planned Parenthood. That's
I'm listening.
Okay.
I'm listening.
Yeah, we give 500. That's not a questionable number. We give 500 million of our tax dollars every year to Planned Parenthood. The defunding of Planned Parenthood is saying Planned Parenthood is questionable, from the baby selling body parts, which is still under investigation. It's not this solid fact. I've seen the videos. I've watched all of them. It's very few percentage, but the fact that it's even happening is where there are facilities that don't do those things, the Planned Parenthood as an organization is under question for a lot of things.
I'm just ignorant on this part.
Yeah, yeah.
When you say selling body
it's
parts,
that's not.
Like, question. That's
let me clarify. So they're tissue donation.
Legal tissue donation.
Legal tissue donation, okay. Under the law. You can the only money transfer that can happen is to cover costs.
Correct.
Okay, got you.
So cover the cost. So the videos, if you watch them, which
I've only
seen
two.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's
right.
My...
Let's watch all of them. Mm-hmm. Let's watch all of them. And a report just came out to hit your point. And my boy Dan, who's a video editor, can testify to this. Mm-hmm. The videos are edited.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Fact. They are edited because there are hours upon hours upon hours of raw footage. Right. You don't play a whole movie in the 80 hours you make in the meantime. You cut it up to tell a story, correct? Right. So a study just came out, Coal Fire, third party, not commissioned by Planned Parenthood like the first one was, came out and said, yes, the videos are edited. Mm-hmm. They are not doctored. There is nothing in there that is skewing information. They cut out things like bathroom trips, like traveling, like waiting. And they did chop up the story. Mm-hmm. So they'd have one lunch mm-hmm. with one group, one dinner with one group. Mm-hmm. And the way I personally enjoyed the storytelling aspect of this, is they took the most mild stuff. If you watch all 10, which mm-hmm. you should, or 11, they take the most mild things mm-hmm. and put them at the beginning. Mm. And then progressively, as you get these videos, they get darker and darker and darker. The conversation's all still the same, but and the things are being said. They're not the doctored is, are they taken out of context? Mm. No, they're not. They're edited, but it's not taken out of context.
Can I respond real quick?
Yeah,
though?
Definitely.
Just about the investigation part. So the Department of Public Health or Department of Community Health, depending on the state, have done statewide investigations of Planned Parenthood facilities and other clinics, including ours, across several states. I think so far 11 states.
Oh, I've heard five.
No. It's been more than
Georgia's
that.
Georgia's one of them.
Georgia's one of them. Mm-hmm. They found no evidence of any illegal activity in any of the state investigations that have happened. So regardless of what's in the videos, the actual investigations within the clinics of their records, of their facilities, they found no evidence of any illegal activity thus far. There may be still things that they could discover, perhaps.
But is that by the Kenyan president, though? Is that who oversees that?
The governors
so
of those,
people. I don't know.
Yeah, the governors of each of those states, including Governor Deal.
For a second, I was like, the Kenyan president.
Yeah, I was very confused. So yeah, but no, including Governor Deal. So the governors of those states launched investigations through whatever their primary health department. So for us, it's Department of Community Health. They came and did investigations in all of the clinics throughout the state to investigate these particular instances, as well as the full facilities, and found no evidence. You've seen report after report, states completely cleared of any illegal activity.
Okay.
So the videos, there may be lots of questions about what they are, but if the state institutions can't find any evidence, that's the investigation I think that matters, holds a little bit more weight in my mind.
Okay. Yeah, and some of the investigations are quick, and we can get into that, because the tissue donation is legal. Mm. So a lot of the investigations are going in and going, tissue donation? And Georgia...
Well, I know what
Georgia,
an investigation looks
Georgia,
like.
Georgia doesn't, if correct me if I'm wrong, Georgia doesn't, I don't think they have any tissue procurement.
We don't.
Yeah, they don't. So that was like, hey, but y'all do tissue procurement? Nope. Okay, there's nothing going on
here.
That's
not how the investigations go. Just as a clinic that's been investigated, they are hours long, they are sometimes multiple day investigations.
The investigation itself, that's what they were looking into. Is there tissue procurement? Are they following the laws? And the laws that were broken, the videos were all in California, and they're still... I might be mistaken, but they haven't done an investigation there yet. I'm not certain either. But cool. I know they've done one here. Nothing was found. My number's five. It may be more. I don't know.
Not 50 though, right?
Listeners. No, it's not 50.
It's not been all the states. Yeah.
Yeah. And so. And the federal, they're doing federal investigations, and those haven't come to any conclusions yet. So for whatever that's worth, back to the
please,
just the big picture, picture here. And then I want to hear you guys. Is that, we want to take the $500 million a year away from Planned Parenthood that's wrapped up in these types of things, Medicaid fraud, whole different conversation, multiple issues of rapes not being reported. There's just a lot of controversy. Again, listeners, you can Google these things, of rapes not being reported, Medicaid fraud, abuse. If you look at their tax statements, so these are some numbers I've pulled up that are interesting. So from their own, all data is directly from the annual reports of Planned Parenthood Federation of America. Mm-hmm. So if we're focused on women's health, and that's the goal, which it is, from I think every side can agree on these things, is that from 2006 to 2013, cancer screenings and preventative services in Planned Parenthood have gone down 53%. Okay. From 2 million, just over 2 million to... just under a million. So 53% gone down. Again, these are their own numbers. Their clientele has actually dropped from 2006 to 2013, 13%. Mammograms, we know, from 2006 to 2013 are zero. Mm-hmm. Abortions from 2006 to 2013 have increased 13%. So clients down 13, but abortions are up 13. And taxpayer funding is up 57%. So if we're looking at comprehensive women's health care of multiple services, and most of their services are wrapped up in abortion care. And you can look at their numbers.
What does that mean exactly? I'm sorry.
So when a woman comes in to get an abortion, they break down all their services. Mm-hmm. So she comes in for an abortion, but she also gets a pap smear. She also gets STD testing. She also can get, this is how Planned Parenthood breaks down their stuff.
Well, they don't get a pap smear when they get an abortion. That's not true.
No,
but continue.
It can be a part of the procedure in the whole abortive process. You don't just walk in and go, bam, bam, here we go.
I work at a clinic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm just trying to tell you, but continue. Yeah.
Well, you can educate us all on what a pap smear is. That could be interesting.
I
know what one is. But you can the whole, you get STD testing along with that abortion. Again, this is like what the procedure
okay,
is.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, this is just potentials for how they can bundle, if you will, all these different services that don't just include the actual abortion.
Okay.
From contraceptives and all these kind of things, they bundle them together. And so, but all of that has to do with the abortion procedure. If you look at the, and what I'm trying to get at is that if you look at the number of women that come into abortion clinics, and I have to pull up the number from their, again, from their own reports, is the number of women that come in total for Planned Parenthood, the majority of them are getting abortions. Okay. And so that's what they do. That's the majority of what they do.
You're saying the majority of what Planned Parenthood does
is abortion. Right. And so the defunding thing, all that is let's take that $500 million of taxpayer dollars away from Planned Parenthood that last year alone made over $100 million in excess revenue as a nonprofit. Okay. They're not for profit, but they had $100 million in excess revenue. Mm-hmm. They have all these other things that I described, and they're focused mainly on abortion, and their numbers of other women's health care, according to their own numbers, are dropping, and their taxpayer funding is going up. So we take that $500 million and give it to those 13,000 other women's health care clinics to beef it up. Okay. So people are like, why are we taking $500 million away from women's health care? No, we're just moving it. We're saying, y'all are kind of sketchy. You guys are actually offering mammograms and other services that Planned Parenthood is either decreasing or doesn't offer. And let's take that 500 and put it over that, put it to your clinic. Are you associated with Planned Parenthood?
We're an independent clinic.
Okay. Yeah. So we want to take that money from Planned Parenthood and distribute it. So taxes don't change. Taxpayer funding is still paying for contraceptives, all these other women's healthcare things for low-income women through Medicaid, and we want to transfer it over there. That is the argument. It's not that we want to just take all that money and put it somewhere else.
I think I understand what you're saying.
Let me ask.
My questions. Please, anyone out here who's listening, I have no got you question in any of this. I'm just asking things that don't make sense to me at a point. So what I am curious about is, well, I'm going to give you a chance to reply to some of that, Kwajalein, but for a conversation soon after, I would like to know, like, those other
women's healthcare clinics.
Thank you so much. Like, are they providing abortions as well too? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then secondly,
again, this, the whole defund thing has, it's not even an abortion. Really, it's really not even an abortion conversation.
Okay, cool. And then the second thought around that as well, and Kwajalein, you might be able to help answer this too, because I'm unclear. Isn't it illegal to be uninsured at this point under Obamacare?
Not in places where Medicaid hasn't been expanded. So there's lots of uninsured people. Mm. Lots and lots and lots. In places like Georgia, Louisiana, Tennessee. All whole swaths of the South and Midwest.
Okay.
And not to derail to talk about the Affordable Care Act and things like that, but basically states had the option of closing the coverage gap, accepting federal funding to close the gap between where Medicaid currently funds, so the income ceilings that exist in existing Medicaid, and the floor in which subsidies are provided. And so some states opted not to accept federal funding to close that. Mm-hmm. And so there's the portion of the population, lots of them are single adults, but some of them are working families that exist within that space who have no access to afford healthcare coverage.
Okay.
So there's lots of uninsured people is okay. part of my point.
Too many.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah. And so one of the things that I think makes this conversation so strange to me is this idea of how Medicaid reimbursements work.
Okay.
So Planned Parenthood is not getting a check from the government. They're not getting any like lump sum of, you know, money from taxpayers. Mm. It functions like any other medical practice. So your private doctor that accepts Medicaid reimbursement, you go in to get procedure X, and then their administrative office writes up calls Medicaid, CMS, to make sure that they can get reimbursed for the cost of that service. And they have negotiated rates depending on where it is, whether it's a hospital or private practice. That is the same way that Planned Parenthood processes the services that are Medicaid eligible.
Reimbursements.
So it's not as if that money can be shifted. It's not a shiftable thing. It's if more patients start going to clinics that may already be at capacity because they cannot go to a Planned Parenthood, they then go to another clinic where they may not be able to service the full population of people in that area. They're not going to just get extra money somehow. They're going to process as many reimbursements for as many services as they provide. And that's how it will work. So if we close down all the Planned Parenthood offices, yes, that might be a small patient boost to some of those clinics, but what will more likely happen is that they will be over capacity and they won't be able to serve the full population and there will be people left out. So that's, I think, one of the things that has to be stated when we talk about taxpayer money. There's lots of stuff my tax money goes to that I don't want it to. I don't care about space. Let me just be real clear. Hey, I don't care about space.
If I could write
a letter to the government to say don't send any of my tax money to Mars, I would do it.
But there's salt water.
I don't care. So that's what I'm saying. But as a society, we don't get to decide where each one of when I write that I believe in taxes because I believe that the government should be in the service of its citizens.
Okay.
And I believe, and I want to invest in that. And I trust the government. I know a lot of people don't, but I just disagree.
I was good with you until that point.
I mean, I don't trust every individual within government, but I trust a lot of the government systems that exist. I think that there's room for improvement in all of them. That's why I work advocacy. That's why I go to the Capitol every legislative session.
Hey, good for you.
Knowing Quadrant, she actually does. She's not just saying
I'm a registered lobbyist. I do the whole thing. But so I'm just saying, like, you, I believe that our tax money is important for the sustaining of our nation. And I wish that there was ways that we could, you know,
pick and choose,
have a menu of options, but that's not the way that the world works. And so I want for people, if my belief is that people should have access to healthcare and the healthcare that they want, not the healthcare that I want them to have, then that is where it ends.
I got you.
So that's really what I feel like that argument goes up to. We already know that there's established mechanisms in place that prevent federal funds to go towards abortion. I don't believe that that's fair either, but that's a different conversation. So,
and money's always fungible.
So that's really what I'm talking about. And I guess the last thing I'll say before I send it back is I wish that the Congress would go through the tax returns and financial statements of every nonprofit organization that is accepting federal funds, because we would find a lot of interesting things. I think that there's a lot of mismanagement of money in lots of kinds of organizations. I think if we really want to talk about like where our money is going, we should do that, but we should do that across the board.
Okay. So that is good. Tim. Every now and again, I just refer to the man with the blazer on. And,
I do have a blazer
you
on.
You do, which grants you a level of wisdom that far succeeds gray hair.
No pressure. So much has been said. What I'd say is just so many numbers get thrown around, particularly in this debate, and each side has vested interest in trying to prove the veracity of their claims. And I've seen opposition on both sides poking holes in there. I think ultimately, I think we land where we began, in that we do not adequately service the needs of women in this nation. We don't even adequately listen to them enough to see what those needs are. And typically what we end up doing is standing back and casting judgment for many women who have found themselves in precarious situations, sometimes not of their doing. And so with that said, like, we all agreed at the beginning that women need adequate health care. I agree with that. I don't agree with abortion. I have never heard anything that has caused me to agree with abortion. But I can still not support abortion and support women getting what they need. Planned Parenthood, I don't have a great opinion about them. I know they've got great brand reputation, as Harrison said, and recognition. But just generally speaking, I'm just not as informed about this as I am with other things. Welcome. For those of you, I can speak more intelligently about other things.
It's all good.
But just generally speaking, I find myself falling in the middle because, like, just generally, like, ideologically, I side with Harrison. And he said little that I disagree with. Factually, I have not done the research that he has, so I can't, like, stand behind everything he says. But, like, I agree with his stance. I agree with where he stands with much of what he said tonight. I always struggle with recommendations from here. Just because where do we go from here?
And that's ultimately where I wanted to kind of push the conversation, is just kind of because we're kind of heading home with this.
We've been talking a long time.
Yeah.
Is it 2 a.m. yet? Because that's what happened last time.
That is what happened last time, but that doesn't even account for the after recording conversation.
Right. The time in the kitchen.
Right.
That was rowdy.
Man, that was hype. But I did want to just kind of say on a general basis, like, I think everyone this is obviously a very impassioned subject for people on both sides of the political spectrum, and for both men and women. I think one of the things that that kind of gets overlooked often is that I was gonna say that and I don't think that's true anymore. What I was gonna say from the perspective is just that it's a very engaging conversation, I think, whether you're, you know, Republican or Democrat, and even whether you're a man or a woman. I think that sometimes there's the thought that kind of men are, like, just kind of clueless about
men are clueless. You could just put a period.
There's a period there. Right. There is a period there. I
ain't
even
trying.
but I do want to say that that one of the things that I think has kind of comes out of this is just realizing that we are all in this together, whether we like it or not. We are in this together, and I think that's something, Harrison, that you've said, as well as you, Quadrilin, and Tim, is just that, like, hey, you can't pick and choose where your money goes, and you can't pick and choose the laws that you are going to abide by right now in this context, but you can advocate, make your case, your impassioned
lobby
case, and really speak to what it is that you believe and stand by your convictions. I think wholeheartedly, once you decide and learn and educate yourself on the topic, the best thing you can do is just not necessarily be a demagogue about it, but certainly really just stand firm in where you are. But as believers, we stand firm in love, honestly, and we make sure that at the core we are having a conversation that constantly speaks to the humanity on either side of this issue, because these are human beings that we're talking about. We're talking to. That was not meant to be a wrap up, but it kind of is a wrap up.
That is a wrap up. Hey, that is a wrap up.
Hey guys, I'm not bad at it, but I did want to at least leave. I did want to at least leave, you know, kind of everyone to be able to give their 30-second elevator pitch, but also where they can reach out to you to find out additional information. Just because I know Harrison's always ready, I'm going to start with Harrison and make my way around, if that's cool with you. Let people know, one, your contact info, but certainly the organization, you know, ADF, as well as
which I'm not speaking on the behalf of.
Right. Yeah. I meant to be clear about that.
Now that we're at the end of it, is there a way? Can y'all edit that?
Y'all try to get Harrison fired
Smith
up here.
Does not speak on behalf of Alliance Defending Freedom.
But absolutely, man. Just please make your case to people.
I really appreciate this. And I think, you know, what's appreciate the end? You. Where do we go from here? I really think it's, let's get everybody to hear both sides. Come to consensus where I'm not going to convince you, you're not going to convince me, but I have a ton of respect for you. One, because you're super, I'm speaking to Quad here, super knowledgeable on
your
stuff.
That's why she's super Quad.
Yeah, super. I don't know if I'm there yet. I don't know if I can call her that yet.
It's all good.
Super knowledgeable, passionate, standing on what you believe is truth. And I was talking to a guy on the airplane today, and I was like, and this is, you're an example of this, but on either side, like, I'm a conservative.
Yeah.
Not going to say Republican because they're retarded, but I'm a conservative. Like, I have a ton of respect for liberal, progressive, hard leftists because they stand on their convictions. They believe what they believe and they stand on it. And in the same note, in this topic, that's what you're doing. And so I have a ton of respect for you. You're not just like oh, I believe this because I'm on this side of the aisle. Like, you're not, like, you can back up your stuff. And so that, I think, is a challenge to everyone who's listening, is just find out what,
where you are on it.
Regardless, yeah. Find out what the arguments are. The purpose of this whole talk is to get opposite sides or talk about things we may not be comfortable talking with. Mm-hmm. And I'm coming away going to go look up some stuff because I'm like, I didn't know the mortality rate deal. Like, I need to know that. Indeed. And I think the purpose of this, and I hit this today with this guy on the plane, is like, I think everybody in this room is a truth seeker. Like, none of us want to be like, yup, duped, and that's what I'm chasing. Like, like, we, if I'm wrong, please, I want to know that I'm running after the wrong thing. Right. I really do. And so I want everybody who's listening to have that mentality of like, let's chase truth. Let's, like, I'm completely sold that my way is truth. You're completely sold that your way is truth. And we can talk about it, get out there, and let everybody else decide where they're at. So I think this is great. Yeah. High respect for you. Appreciate you guys setting this thing up.
Always glad when you
look
come.
Better than me, and I don't like that.
And that, again, that is ADF Alliance.
For more information about this specific topic, again, not speaking for organization, but
sure.
Just for stuff from our end, but it's also a lot of Planned Parenthood stats from their own numbers, is adflegal.org/defundpp. And that's, you can actually watch all 11 videos.
I'm like a 9-year-old kid when I hear PP.
Oh, every time. Listen, when I've Googled PP, I'm like, maybe I'll just like stop there and see what comes up.
Please don't
do it. Reconsider.
Please do not stop there.
PP doo doo.
Okay.
Yeah. That all the videos are on there. Again, I challenge everybody to watch those. They're very tough, but they're all on there.
Cool. Appreciate
it. Yeah.
Appreciate you, Harrison. Wow. Timothy Welbeck.
So, I do the social media thing.
You do.
I'm on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. It's just my name, Timothy Welbeck, 1L. What else am I supposed to say right now?
Just anything you want to say to the people what we talked about or yourself?
Oh, okay.
Anything.
Yeah. So it was a pleasure. I do appreciate being in conversations like this, because typically when I have, I've devolved into shouting matches. Mm-hmm. And, I appreciate that we could have people on polar ends of the spectrum able to sit down and talk to each other. We don't see that on television anymore. We don't hear it on radio anymore. And so it doesn't exist. And so
or if we do, it's for an entertainment value. And that's what I hope this was not. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's like, let's see two people bash their heads in on and they're not going to, you know. So anyway.
Yeah, so
I'm hugging all y'all before I got here.
It's kind of high.
I ask you permission before I attack you.
Permission is sexy. get that consent.
I think that's like a Planned Parenthood tagline.
Enthusiastic consent.
Yeah.
Well, I was just speaking from a lawyer. You know, you don't get that consent. That's battery and other bad things.
It is. Very true. Very
but,
true.
But like, I appreciate the conversation. I appreciate what y'all are doing on 4th District. I've told y'all that offline before. So it's glad to be on the mic and tell you all that as well. Glad to be on this side of the mic.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anytime you're visiting from Philly, we'll make a space
let's make
for
it
you.
Happen, so. Man. Let's make it happen.
Kwajalein.
Hi.
Not speaking on behalf of whatever.
On behalf of anybody. On behalf I'm just of, speaking just for me.
Speaking on behalf of Kwajalein.
Well, all I wanted to say is, I mean, I hear the whole, like, stand on your convictions, stand for what you believe in, but I really believe that people's unique experiences are important. Their lived experiences are varied. The way that I live my life is very different from the people who live down the street from me. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's really the most important part for me, is like really listening to people and understanding that just because I haven't lived it doesn't mean that it's not real and that it's not valid. Mm. And so that is really the core that kind of drives me in my advocacy work, is that we need to be able to be open, and we need to be open to having our minds change when we get new information as well. So I don't want to present myself as somebody who's just digging my heels in to dig them in. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking from what I know, and I am open to the idea of learning more things that will help to broaden what I know. Mm-hmm. So that's really, really important to me.
Nailed it.
And so I work for a Feminist Women's Health Center. I do advocacy, outreach, education around reproductive justice. Mm-hmm. Reproductive justice is a big word that could be its own podcast. But I do work at the Capitol during the legislative session. I do civic engagement through
election cycles. I do a lot of just talking to people in our communities across lots of different things. So if people want to reach out to me, I don't really know how. I mean, I don't, because I'm.
You can find me at the Capitol.
Well, so our website is, yeah, website is feministcenter.org if you're interested in learning more about what we do and kind of who we are. And all of, I mean, ways to get in touch with me are all on there. Wonderful. So that's probably the best way I could do it.
I will say that I think Reproductive Justice is a dope band name, and I'm calling dibs.
Wow.
It holds a lot of weight, so understand what comes with that.
I do. I hope my choice comes with it, but yes. Nonetheless, yo, my name
a lawyer would have never seen that potential, so.
I'm telling you, man.
Hey.
So, yo, again, my name is Adon Bean. On behalf of the Fourth Family, Dan Duncan, Sho Baraka, JP, David Perdue, and the countless others who contribute to make Fourth District what it is. We want to thank you for listening to Off the Record. Until next time, we getting consistent with this thing, yo. We starting to do this every week, sort of.
A collective sigh,
yes. Anyway, holla at y'all next time. Thank you guys for listening.
For this certain moment, trying to take it sky high, so go alert the stoners. Fear got your guy almost on the verge of blowing it. Bravos, I hear the hand claps, and I know that this here could be my last chance. And I can't ever remember having this chance last. And in this second, this moment here will be past tense. Man, I'm past tense. I'm on the edge of a classic, but slacking got me on the edge of a has-been. Too passive, gotta snatch this moment before I pass it and face this test like Steve Nash and pass it. I will not be crippled. Cast loaves in the oceans, gotta see ripples. Excuses are useless, tools that the fools pick. Only got one shot, but it feels like a full clip. For this one moment, patiently waiting in line just to get on it. These players hating on me, I gotta let it go. Put me in the game, coach, I got some better goals. This game's so foul, it's sort of pitiful. Tell your people, go and grab a stone and get a free throw. And let them know, I love the Lord. But sometimes it's like that, I love me more. Seek his applause, break all your laws. We tear the roof off, homie, we don't need no doors. So now, I stand on top of this. I have strength in my esophagus. Hear me roar like a young lion. A team called Iron, a product from new science. My confession ain't no fear in me now. Just like a usher, it's my job to move crowds. Once upon a time, I lived in a world that was bound by fear. Escaped his hold, now life's reset. Then I was given grace to break the enemy's net. It's time for the conquerors. Oh, it's my turn? Excuse me, the monster's up. Foe slaying, cruising in this monster truck. It's no playing, giving bruises in this Tonka truck. My circle's where the riders is. A couple Paul and Silas is, and Leonidas is. Kinda sickening how bold this virus is. No sniffing, but so cold like sinuses.
Make room for the misses, the crew full of misfits. Peruse your policies and hack through ISIS's. Intrude your embassy, sneak food to your listeners. Pilots, provisioners, and suicide bombers. Musical monsters, martyrs, quick to die for a designer. Yeah, this is our moment.